Yeah, start talking.
The date is Sunday, May the 11th, 1997. The survivor is Jack Spicer, interviewer Vivian Ray. The city is Melbourne in Australia, and the language is English. Read it again. I'm conducting an interview with Jack Spicer on Sunday, May the 11th, 1997. My name is Vivian Ray. The interview is in the city of Melbourne in Australia, and the language is English. What is your name?
Jack Spicer.
And how do you spell Spicer?
S-P-I-C-E-R.
What was your date of birth?
In the 15th of the 12th, 1930.
How old are you now, Mr. Spicer?
I'm going to be 67 in December.
And where were you born?
In Poland, Starachowice.
What was your name at birth? Did your parents call you Jack Spicer?
No, yeah. Janko Feldpeiser.
Can you spell Feldpeiser?
F-E-L-D-P-I-C-E-R.
Okay. Who were the members of your family when you were a child?
My father, my mother.
What? Tell me their names.
Meyer Feldpeiser, Hanna Feldpeiser, and I had four brothers. Israel Feldpeiser, Zacharia Feldpeiser, Harry Feldpeiser, Hanoch Feldpeiser, and Yankel Feldpeiser.
And where did you come amongst those brothers?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. Can you describe your house in Starachowice?
We had a double-story home. And we had a shop downstairs, a tailoring shop. My father employed a couple of people to make suits, to measure. We went to school.
In your two-story house, did everybody have their own bedroom?
No. I think we had about four bedrooms.
And how did you keep warm?
I think we had an open fire.
And how was water heated?
Remember? I can't remember this.
Yeah. Okay. Did anybody else live with you apart from your brothers and your parents?
No.
What language did your family speak in the home?
Yiddish.
Okay. And what was your religion?
Jewish.
Yeah, can you tell me about any religious observances at home?
No, we were traditional Jews, you know. My father used to go every Saturday to shul. And when we were a little bit bigger, we used to go with him, you know. It was not a big synagogue, just a shtibu, you know, like in a small town.
And at home, did you observe religion in any ways?
Oh, yeah. We always were kosher, you know. We used to buy kosher meat and all this. You know.
And tell me about your extended family, grandparents, aunts and uncles.
We had grandparents, but they used to live a long way. I never, very, when we used to go to school, I used to stop there for a few minutes, you know. Don't remember much about them. Uncles, we had three uncles. That's my mother's side. My father's side, I can't remember much.
So the three uncles from your mother's side, did you have much to do with them?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you do?
We used to see them every Saturday or every second Saturday. They used to go there for lunch and I came here, you know, to ask for lunch. They had children, cousins, you know, first cousins.
How many cousins did you have from them?
One had three children, and the other one had two children, and the other one had two children.
And did your children play together?
No, they used to live quite a while away from us, you know, 2-3 kilometers. So. Was too hard for us to go there, you know.
Yeah. And who did you play with when you were at home after school, maybe, or on the weekends?
Neighbors, yeah. You know, in the neighborhood, used to kick the ball, and that's all.
Were your neighbors Jewish?
I think one was Jewish.
What else can you remember about your childhood?
Oh, very little. Really, very little. In the next stage, we were thrown out of the house.
Oh, well, just before we get to that.
Right.
Would you describe your family? Were they happy? Did you get along?
Yeah, very happy family.
And how would you describe it in terms of affluence? Were you poor or middle class?
Middle class, not poor and not rich. We had what to eat, you know.
And what school did you go to?
State school.
Tell me about school.
I don't think there was a Jewish school there. I can't remember much about school, you know, there. Talking over 50 years.
What language did they speak at school?
Polish.
Can you remember some of the teachers?
No.
Do you remember any of the children at school?
I saw one lady once in Israel. She used to go with me to school. I used to live in the neighborhood. That was in 1950-49. It's a long time ago. Mm.
Can you remember if there was any anti-Semitism in your school?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, they always used to pick on us, throw stones, you know, when we were, say, playing a bit of football around the park or somewhere. They used to always come and throw stones and fight us, you know. Always anti-Semitism.
How did you deal with that?
I think my bigger brother, they used to come and fight them, you know.
Did the teachers know this was going on and did they do anything?
I don't think so. They didn't do nothing for it, no.
Did you belong to any outside organisations?
No.
So just give me more of a sense of your life. You went to school, when you came home, what did you do when you came home?
I used to do a little bit of homework and play a little bit, and that's all, and help Mum a few things, you know. We used to have polished floors, we used to help her polish the floors, you know, like wooden floors. That's all I can remember, you know.
And how old were you when the war broke out?
9.
Were you aware that
no,
a war had begun?
Very little. Because we, you know, straight away there was trouble. There was, you couldn't get this, you couldn't walk there, you couldn't go there. You know, there's always some handicaps. You couldn't go and visit to this street, you couldn't go to this street. And eventually, we had to move too.
Tell me about moving.
Well, we used to live in a very nice street, you know. And they threw us out from the house, and we had to go like a few kilometers, and one of my uncles had a shop. He emptied the shop and we moved in there to practically one room, you know, 7 people, can imagine. We were there, I don't remember how long, there quite a while, and then they made a camp. And they threw us out from there too, and we went to that camp.
What was the name of that camp?
I can't remember. It was not a famous camp. They just built a bit of barracks, and they put all the community in there, and that's it. It was not a big community, you know, a few thousand people. In the meantime, a few people left that little town, they ran away, and, you know, bigger people, like my oldest brother, he ran away. And he went to Warsaw. You see, and he, I think it's through my mother, she knew somebody, and he got different papers, you know, and that's how he survived in Warsaw.
And so you were in, was it a camp or a ghetto?
No, it was a camp, definitely a camp. You want to know something about this camp? Before we were thrown out of the house, we had a bit of material. Suitings, you know, like, I don't know, now I know it's 3 yards or, you know, 3 meters, 4 meters. You have quite a few suitings, material. So one picks this, the other one picks this. You didn't have big rolls like we have in Australia. You buy a suit and tomorrow I buy the same suit, you know. There was always individual. Or because you didn't have the money to buy big rolls, so you buy suiting lengths, right? And at the time, we gave my mother, we had a knife, she gave all the material to that woman. And when we were at this camp already, after we needed some money, we needed anything. I used to go out under the camp, under the fence, with my other brother. We were small, and we went to that woman to get some material, money. She had very big dogs, and she let the dogs.
She let the dogs loose on you?
Well, We were not bitten, we ran away. But we didn't get anything, nothing from her, you know. And she was a good neighbor, you know. She was a good neighbor, but shows you. That's the truth. You ask me her name, I wouldn't remember, you know. Then in that particular camp, they were making some uniforms for the German army or something. And because we were tailors, you know, my father and my mother knew this, so we were in charge of this. And we were hidden under the table of the work, you know, where they used to cut, we were hidden in the bottom, because we were so young. And we were there till 1944. Was not good, but was not so bad, you know. Tell you one thing that happened. I will never forget this. I can see it now. When in 1944 we had a lot of artillery shoot, you know, and they were saying that the Russians are coming. You know, but this was maybe 30, 40, 50 kilometers away, who knows? But you heard the shooting, you know? So a lot of youngsters, you know, like grown up, like 22, 23, run away. They run away, and then the Germans used to put out, you know, those on the wall, they put on the wall signs. If you bring a Jew, you get a bag of potatoes, you get a bag of sugar. And I went, and there was a lot of forest there, not far. And I went out to Poles and I bought them all in, eventually, in the next 10 days or something, I can't remember exactly. And the Germans tied them up, and with a hand in the back, and one of them was going around and shoot one by one, and I took all the camp out to have a look at this. And one fellow that was related to my mother, he was a butcher, he was so strong. After he got shot, he stood up, and he kicked him. Never forget this scenery. I'd never forget. It's like happened now. You believe it? And this is. What, 60 years? Over 60 years? No, 50 odd years. This wasn't in 44.
What happened to him after he kicked them?
They shoot him again. It's terrible. The whole camp was crying, you know. You never seen those sceneries. Never. You never see this. So now, when they come and they say, the Germans did it, this did it. I tell you one thing, the Poles have got the same guilt like the Germans. They did all the dirty work.
So in this ghetto, how did people get food? Camp. In the camp.
I don't know how. Yeah. But there was not too much, you know. But,
what did you have to eat?
I can't. Mainly bread, soup or something, you know. You never got three-course meal. Or ice cream or whatever, you know, entree. There was bread, there was soup, there was potatoes, who can remember? But nothing... there was no meat. No poultry, you know.
And how was the camp organized? Were there capos? Were there...
No, I think there were some people in charge, but I can't remember all this, you know, little things. But it was very peaceful, you know. Otherwise, you know, people go about their jobs and it's only happened when the people start to run away and they brought them back. That's what all the tragedy was.
Was there school for the children there?
No. No school whatsoever.
You said you were under the table while your parents were sewing. Did you do anything else? Can you remember?
No, nothing else. When they used to come in, the Germans and this, we used to hide under the table. After, we used to run around and outside, you know. But they used to come every day to pick up and make sure they do this, they do this. They used to be very, every day there.
Were religious rituals ever observed in that
No.
camp?
No. But people knew when it was Yom Tov and this, but there was nothing to get dressed with very little belongings. We had nothing practically, you know. Couldn't take much.
What did you live in? What did you sleep in?
I had this, I don't know, it was not but, you know, six people sleep here and six people sleep there, like a barrack, you know, undivided, and one on top of the other one, like animals.
Was your family together?
At the time, yes. Except my oldest brother, that he ran away.
Was he able to keep in contact with you?
No.
Had he spoken with your family about running away? Did they agree that that was a good idea, or how did it come about?
I really can't remember. I know he took off one Sunday and that's it, you know, and never seen him since till 1957. Because my mother,
so how, what happened?
My mother used to cry. Every day. but we couldn't help it.
And how did it come about that you left the camp?
They put us on a train in Wiel. We couldn't do nothing. The next thing, we in Birkenau, you know? Like, I don't know how long we traveled. I can't remember this. But we landed there.
Can you describe the train, the transport?
It was terrible. People died in the train, you know? And, they never gave us nothing to eat, and people had little they shared with.
Did it stop at all along the way?
Only to take the deads out.
Sorry, say that again?
To take the dead people out. They stopped for an hour or two or so, you know, and that's it, and I continued till we came to Birkenau.